Recording has started.
Super, thank you. Well, good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Next Generation RDF PDP Working Group call on the 25th of July, 2017. In the interest of time, there will be no roll call. Attendance will be taken by the Adobe Connect room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourself be known now? Okay, thank you. Hearing no names, I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for transcription purposes, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I will turn it back over to Chuck.
Thanks, Julie. Welcome to everyone to our meeting today. Starting off with any statement of interest updates. If you have one, please raise your hand in Adobe. Don't think we have anybody that's not in Adobe, but if so, please speak up. All right. So let's jump right into our agenda. Thanks to those of you who completed the poll. We had a little lower response number this time in the poll, but we still, I think, obtained some good indications of where people are at with regard to the items that were in the poll. So let's go ahead and switch the display in Adobe and jump into our slides for today, which have been designed specifically for this meeting. And as you can see, we're going to continue our deliberation beyond the minimum public data set. And a couple links there if you haven't already looked at those. Last week's poll and the prior week's poll results are there. There were three questions in the poll, the first relating to registrant name and registrant organization, the second registrant country, and the third question number four, was registrant email address. So we're going to follow up on those, look at the results today. And then after that, hopefully we will take a look and talk about other contact data elements that were broadly supported in the poll a couple meetings ago. So let's go, if you go now to slide two, and you have control, we'll come to question two in the poll, which is the first question in the poll other than asking for your name. And you can see there a couple bullet points defining the registrant in the 2013 RAA. I won't go over that. But you can see the results, the options that were presented, and the results of the poll. There's really a pretty close split between option A and option D. A is pretty much the status quo. And D had a little variation in that based on discussions that we had in our meeting last week. Now, certainly you're welcome to go back to the poll and look at the comments that were made, and if we need to, we can post those. But for right now, we're just going to jump right ahead to some possible key concepts that we could get out of this. And I want to ask Lisa to come in and comment on the results, if she would, please.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. As we looked at the items that received the the greatest support. And we should note that in this particular poll question, you had the opportunity to indicate more than one response that you agreed with, so that the total does not add up necessarily to 100%. As we looked at the two responses and thought about discussion from last week's call, and also looked at a couple of the comments that were supplied along with answers for this, there were comments from a number of people, I think Greg Shatton, Steve Metellitz, and Rod Rasmussen all provided comments that suggested that it is not so much the way in which the data is structured or the name of the data elements, but the need for an actual semantic definition of these data elements that seems to be missing from the 2013 REA and would potentially be a requirement on any future RDS policy. And so that's the genesis of the suggested possible key concept number one here, which is that RDS policy must include a definition for every registration data element, both semantic and syntax. As I said, this was mentioned, I think it was Stephen Talitz that raised this on our last call, but was also mentioned in several comments. And so it seemed to be a key takeaway, regardless of how the data might be structured or labeled. Another key takeaway is that even though the vote seems to be somewhat split between options A and D, both of those suggest that there is a requirement for at least one element that identifies the domain name registrant to be represented in an RDS and to be collected as a mandatory bit of information. And so that's the genesis for the second possible key concept that is listed here. And we thought, rather than focusing our discussion on what data elements are named or exactly how they're split apart, we might actually start by seeing if we have agreement on these key concepts or these concepts reworded, and then worry about the actual labeling of the data elements and whether they would be split apart into two separate elements.
Thanks, Lisa. This is Chuck again. Greg, you have a question?
I do, Chuck. This is Greg Aaron. As we continue these deliberations, one of the things that I suggest we be really deliberate and clear about is whether things must be collected and displayed, or because in some cases, some of these fields we're talking about have historically been optional data that you don't have to fill in or provide, like fax number or reseller name or that kind of thing. And also watch our terminology about should versus must versus optional. Those words have meaning. And so when we do polling, we need to be really clear about whether we're saying something's mandatory to collect, mandatory display, or it's optional, et cetera. Thank you.
Greg, this is Chuck, a follow-up question. Did you think that there was any ambiguity in the options for question number two?
Let's see. Maybe not number two, but I thought there was in some others
in
previous
those
polls.
Up when we get to those so that we make sure that there is no ambiguity. So, but that's why I wanted to follow up to make sure. It's pretty clear where there's a must and an option, I think, in number two. So thanks for that. And please bring that up when we get to a place where there may be some ambiguity in one of the other questions. So there are two proposed key concepts. Let's look at one at a time. The first one came out of the comments from several of you, as Lisa pointed out. RDS policy must include a definition for every GTLD registration data element, including both a semantic definition and a syntax definition. Is there any opposition to that as a key concept? And thanks for those in the first, like Steve, for example, that recorded the comments in there. Mark Anderson, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Mark Anderson. This is an opposition, but I just want to, you know, sort of point out that there should be room for organizations that provide RDS output to add their own fields. I don't think we should try and define the universe of all possible RDS outputs. In fact, I kind of think our focus should be on RDS output that is required by policy. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. I don't think anything here restricts organizations from doing things on their own. I think we've made clear before that registrars and registries as well may collect information that's not in the RDS. With regard to optional, I would say for now let's leave the optional ones in there. When we get closer to the end on these things, we can revisit your suggestion that we should only focus on required. But I'd also point out that an optional element could be a required part of the RDS. It just may be blank. So, and I think there was quite a bit of discussion last week that there's some value in some cases of having the organization in cases where an individual is the registrant, if that is applicable. So I would say let's not spend a lot of time on whether we're just doing required or not now. Go ahead, Mark.
Thanks, Chuck. Mark again. I don't disagree with anything you said. I guess my concern is that at some point down the road, we aren't in a situation where somebody says, oh, you can't display field X because it hasn't been defined by RDS policy. That's just my paranoid fear there.
It's a valid point, and we should not do that. I would agree with you. So let's keep that in mind as we get closer to the end and make sure we haven't done that, because I don't think that's anyone's intent right now. So can I jump in here, Chuck? Sure. Stephanie, go ahead.
Thank you. I'm sorry. I'm on the phone and I'm driving, but I just pulled over to make this remark. I'm a little nervous about defining syntax because I'm not quite sure how rigid our definition of syntax, not to say we shouldn't do it at some point, but to what extent is that going to nail people in different countries down to a type of, let's pick address, for instance, that they're incapable of nailing down in the particular way that we describe? Are we going to take that on, or are we just going to borrow work that's been done in other working groups?
I think, Chuck, it's a good point, and I think that we will take that on when we get into implementation, depending on what recommendations we make for requirements and policy. So that is very definitely an implementation issue that needs to be taken into consideration. Any other comments on the key concept number one? Okay. So I'm going to make the conclusion that that the people on this call, there it looks like there's about 28 of us or so, and plus Stephanie's not on in Adobe, so that makes 29, I think, including some staff members in there. So we have we're going to conclude that is a key concept, and we will put that into a poll just to confirm for people on this call to confirm as well as people not on the call. The second key concept listed on the screen there, and again for people like Stephanie that aren't there, I'll read it. At least one element identifying the domain name registrant, i.e. registered name holder, must be collected and included in the RDS? Is there any discussion on number two? And Andrew, I'm assuming you want to talk about two. If you're going back to one, that's okay. But go ahead. Not hearing anything, Andrew. You might.
Yeah. So
there we go. I think I heard you.
The first. Both Scott and I were asking. Yeah. Is that better?
No, that's fine. Nothing now.
Both Scott and I were asking in the chat room about what syntax means, I think. We were trying to understand whether this puts ICANN in the position.
You seem to have dropped there, Andrew. Did you lose audio? Hang on a second while we see what's happening there.
I'll reach out to Andrew.
So if Andrew, Scott, if you can jump in and help, that would be okay while Andrew's dealing with the audio. Notice the question that Scott asks and that Andrew followed up with in the chat. What would happen if an ICANN described syntax definition disagrees with an IETF specified protocol syntax definition? And Andrew replied, I think that syntax means protocol, so I must have the wrong understanding of what is meant. I wonder, and we're going back to key concept number one, so I wonder if maybe a possible edit would be in order here, and let's talk about that. And hopefully Andrew will get audio again. Lisa, go ahead.
I believe I can reflect what Andrew was trying to raise, which is that if the syntax is to be defined for data elements, and Scott had questioned what happens if the syntax is inconsistent with IETF protocols, I believe the point Andrew was trying to make was whether this puts ICANN in the position of defining protocols. Just to share my two cents, I believe currently the definitions refer to IETF RFCs as the source for syntax definitions, and presumably that could be something that was done for the syntax definitions in the future as well to ensure consistency. That might be another proposed key concept, but I think that raising that concern was what Andrew was trying to do.
Okay, thanks, Lisa. That's helpful. Do you think that we need to qualify the way this key concept's worded to cover that, or is that something we will deal with when we get into implementation?
If you're asking me, Lisa Pfeiffer, again, I would say that it's a possible key concept that syntax definition should be to the greatest extent possible based on IETF definitions or standard definitions, something like that. But that
well, would it work to just add that
concept
qualifier at the end of the key concept, a syntax definition that is consistent with the applicable protocol?
It's a requirement on how you define syntax rather than a requirement on providing definitions for data elements. But so that would be my rationale for considering it a separate requirement. But either way, I think if that's the desire, it probably can be addressed straightforward.
Andrew and Scott, do you think it would be helpful to qualify that or to put a separate key concept about the syntax definition? And I'll come back to Volker's statement. I think there's something that needs to be corrected on that in the chat. But bear with us while we deal with the syntax definition issue in key concept number one. Okay. I'm just Cal asked the question why we have to be concerned about syntax. Would somebody like to respond to that? Certainly, I think for it seems to me that syntax users, registrants, need to know the syntax in order to be able to consistently enter data. I'm curious, Cal, why you think that a syntactical definition is not needed. If you could comment on that, that would be helpful.
Chuck, can you hear me?
Yes.
This is Cal Fay for the record. I was making that observation based on my opinion that we're coming up with a policy that will ultimately inform system builders and registries and whoever builds clients about what sort of data we need to collect, what sort of data we need to display, and how we limit people's access to that data. But we're not going to describe how people consume it specifically. So I think there's a general expectation that we use RDAP, for example, to communicate with systems, but that's not required as part of this group, in my opinion. We don't need to decide what the communication protocols will be and how those communication protocols will share that data. We'll probably set principles and we'll probably set requirements for those, but the details, I think, should always be left to the technical implementers rather than coming up with strict requirements for those protocols within this group, where we're not really concerned or discussing issues of interoperability and operational issues. So I think it's best if we just stick with why we want data, who we allow that data, or who we allow to consume that data, and then set the basic guidelines for implementers rather than trying to do the implementers' work for themselves.
Hopefully,
that makes sense.
No, that's very helpful, a helpful response. But this is Chuck speaking, but before I go to David and Andrew, I want to ask you, though, don't you think, though, that when we get into the implementation phase, that we would likely get into the area of syntax? Now, we could end up in the implementation, and probably we would hopefully get more technical people and operational people involved in the implementation phase, like you suggest. We could end up allowing some flexibility there, but that still should be defined, should it not, in implementation, not now?
Yeah, there's probably going to be some overlap, and I'm not sure if I'm being overly pedantic about that line. As I said earlier, I think that most of us assume that we'll use RDAP for that for the communications channel, for example. But I think generally this group, my feeling is that it's better if we stick with why we are collecting the data and setting the guidelines for the implementers first, and then we can look at interoperability issues within the implementation group when we do fork off. And if there is a shortcoming with the established transport protocols, or rather the communication protocols, then at that point we might want to specify syntax to meet whatever goals. And I'm trying to think of why syntax would
would be important to meet a goal. And I can't think of an example at the moment, but if there is a particular goal or principle that we need to meet and that requires us to be specific about the syntax, then the implementation offshoot group is probably the place to discuss it. So I wouldn't say absolutely not, but I wouldn't preempt that discussion by including syntax considerations at this stage.
Okay, let me go to David, and then we'll take a little meeting poll in terms of what people think about syntax, even referring to a syntax definition. So, David, go ahead.
Well, I'm going to agree that we shouldn't be developing, you know, syntax as such. That does seem to be drifting into sort of, IETF territory, as Andrew's saying. And we already have very capable protocol in RDAP. What we might be doing is specifying something along the lines of like the RDAP profile that already exists for GTLD directories and other things, where we specify existing standards that we feel should be used where they exist and things like that. I don't think we should be developing them, but we may be specifying what they use. And there's a lot of interlinked machinery there in terms of which protocols and protocol extensions we might think are appropriate for different things. So, I don't think we need to get too worried about doing it now, and I don't think we should be leaping ahead. But in any case, this phase two or probably phase three decisions, and at the moment we should be, you know, focusing on requirements, and I don't think we should be requiring, you know, our requirements should get anywhere near the level of detail of specifying syntax at this point. So, I generally agree with the idea that we shouldn't be doing it, but if there was to be a good argument presented for doing it, it would have to be at a much later point. I would not spend too much time on the issue right now. Thanks.
Thanks, David. This is Chuck. So I'm going to make a suggestion to see if this works. Would it be okay at this stage? Seems like it would be to me, but I want to get confirmation from the group, to just take off the end of that key concept and a syntax definition, and just have RDS policy must include a definition of every GTLD registration data element, including a semantic definition, and leave it at that for now. Greg, go ahead.
Hi, Chuck. This is Greg Aaron. I would decline your proposal. The registry and registrar contracts occasionally specify some tactical requirements that are above what EPP requires, and they don't conflict with EPP, but they're important for policy reasons. For example, they say that certain things must be done in order to effectively collect the data. I mean, that's the goal. And there are also requirements for validation and some other things. So those are actually policy statements, in my opinion. I would suggest we don't have to specify them right now and get into the details, because that might slow down our discussion. So I'm on board with that concept, but I would not drop the issue of syntax. I think it should remain there as a placeholder because it's very important. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. This is Chuck. Anybody disagree with Greg's point? Please put a red X in the Adobe if you disagree with that. And so I think what Greg's suggesting is we leave the key concept as it is right now. And I don't want to spend too much time on this because we're going to have to get into more detail when we get to later phases and everything. But and I think we've spent enough time on number one. Is there any opposition to me declaring at least rough consensus for those on the call for key concept one as it's worded now, including the syntax definition in there. I think there's been good discussion in the chat and so forth. So hopefully you've looked at that. I'm not going to go back over that, although I do want to go back to one comment that Volker made, if I can find it here. Where was that one? We have some red X's. Okay. Andrew, you're first. Are you able to speak now?
Andrew still doesn't have audio.
He still doesn't have audio. Okay, let's see. So it sounds, Andrew, like if that we might want to add a key concept that syntax is defined by protocol docs, and maybe we just add a key concept, another one that says syntax is defined by protocol documents. So we would leave the syntax definition in there, but state that is defined by protocol documents. Andrew, if you can put a green check if that works or something so that I know that works, or if you can put something in chat that's alternative to that, that would be good. In the meantime, where'd those red X's go? You found out that I was going to call on you, so you took them off. Mark, you're the next one I saw. You weren't the next red X that was in there. I think it was Cal had a red X. Any of you want to talk to that? Well, let's go ahead with Mark.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Mark. I put a red X because, the conversation I heard, both on audio and in chat, seemed to indicate to me that there wasn't broad support for the syntax definition part. And so, based on the 30 or so of us, I don't think we can say that's a key concept that the majority of us support. I actually agree with the points that Greg Aaron made. I don't think we want to forget about it, and we do want to make sure that it's something we consider or debate. But I put my red X in there because I just didn't feel to me like we had achieved consensus enough to call it a key concept. Thank you.
Thanks. Anybody else want to talk about that? Lisa, go ahead.
I'd just like to call your attention to an alternative phrasing of this key concept in chat, which amends the proposed key concept to include, by reference to appropriate standards, a syntax definition, which it sounds like Andrew and Cal are supportive of that.
So what would the key concept read like now, Lisa? Can you maybe put that in the notes?
It's in chat, but RDS policy must include a definition for every GTLD registration data element, including semantic definition, and by reference to appropriate standards, a syntax definition.
Let me pick on a couple people. So Greg, does that sound okay to you? Since you're one of them commented on this, and Mark, did that sound okay to you? You can put a green check if that's okay, or if you want to talk, you're welcome to speak too. David, is that an old hand? If not, you're welcome to speak.
Chuck, this is Greg. I need to see it on screen before I can agree with it.
Okay. It won't be in the on the slides. Okay, we're not going to change the slides, so it'll need to be in the notes or in the chat. So
this is Lisa from staff. It's in the chat again, as well as at the bottom of the notes pad.
Okay, I was way up in the chat, so let me scroll back down there. Is that okay, Greg?
Well, is an ICANN contract an appropriate standard? I mean, look at the example I gave above. I mean, that's a good standard for that particular example, but I don't know if there are good ones for all examples.
Okay. One of the things I want to, as you can tell, we can spend an hour on every little wording, and if we do that, we're never going to get done. Is it significant enough to wordsmith this further than what's in the chat at this time that we need to spend time on it? And we always need to be asking that question. Otherwise, we just proceed so slowly that it, so is it, does it make a significant difference? Is there anything that, you anybody considers significantly wrong? It's not perfect. Nothing we're doing is perfect, okay? Is that alternative that Lisa put in the chat there okay for now, or is there a significant problem with it? And I underline the word significant, okay? If we, with as many people as we have, even only having 30 plus on our call, we can wordsmith forever, okay? That won't work. We won't get anything done. So does anybody have a significant problem with the wording? And we'll put this in a poll so you'll be able to make some suggestions there too. If not, I'd like to see us move on to number two. Lisa, did you want to say something? Okay. All right. So let's go to number two. Any discussion on number two? At least one element identifying. Oh, and I think this is the one that Volker commented on earlier. At least one element identifying the domain name registrant, i.e., registered name holder, must be collected and included in the RDS. And Volker, I'm not going to scroll up there, but I think what you said in the chat, and I know that Steve Metallis and maybe others respond to that as well. Keep in mind that the one element can be the proxy provider. So that does this key concept does not eliminate the possibility of using a proxy service. Does that, if that doesn't make sense, I'd like you to explain why, Volker. If that makes sense, just let us know either by a green check or speaking up. Okay, thanks, Volker. I appreciate that. And I think that was already clarified before I got to it. So for item number two, at least one element identifying the domain name registrant, the registered name holder, must be collected and included in the RDS. Anybody object to that as a key concept? Okay. So then the last question here is, are there any other key concepts that we might want to conclude out of the results from this poll question? Is that good for now? We're going to have to, you know, eventually when we get into implementation, dig down a little bit further to deal with things like, okay, do we have the registrant element and then also an optional organization? We'll have to get into that. We don't necessarily have to resolve that right now, but some of you recall the discussion from last week along those lines. So there, I'm not seeing any objections, so unless somebody feels differently, we're going to conclude that this will be a rough consensus key concept in our meeting today that will be tested in a poll. And for now, we'll move on to question number three in the poll. So you may want to scroll down a little bit. This one's probably the easiest of the three today, or at least it seems that way to me, and I'm often wrong. So we'll see here. So there was pretty strong support, not unanimous by any means, that registrant country must be included in RDS data elements. It must be mandatory to collect for every domain registration. And going back to Greg Aaron's point, again, I don't think this is ambiguous. Okay, it says it must be mandatory to collect for every domain registration. Anybody opposed to that as a key concept? Okay. Then let's accept that as a rough consensus conclusion, and we'll test it in a poll. And let's go quickly to question four. And you can scroll down to slide four, as a matter of fact, in this case. And again, we had a split, although the two options, A and C, really aren't necessarily contradictory with one another. And based on the poll results, note that Lisa has listed three possible key concepts. But before we do that, and Rod, I don't know if you ever, Rasmussen, I don't know if you ever saw staff's request for you to comment on this one. But if you would like to comment here, that would be very welcome right now.
Are we still on question three, or are we on question four?
We're on question four.
Okay.
I moved really quickly with three.
Yeah, okay. Sorry, I missed that. This is Rod Rasmussen. So I don't know if this is an appropriate time to make comments or not. We had a discussion on the list about this overall issue around the preferential types of contacts or contact methods, I should say, that can be used, and collecting various ones versus publication of various ones depending upon people's preferences, and then also, you know, thinking about this more along the lines of a modern contact data system rather than the old school kind of, we're going to list every possible type of way of contacting somebody and get that all tied to a domain name. So, you know, I don't know if this really fits well into this current way you're approaching this, Chuck. I think that's more of a meta discussion. I'd rather have something prepared and actually go through that as an entire concept so we can get on the same page. I think what we're going through right now are areas where there are some things that have to be done, or we have to make decisions about things that we're going to require various contact methodologies to be collected for various types of purposes, or various elements are going to have to be collected. For example, there are policy elements in place today that require an email address that works for I think multiple ICANN policies that exist today. So does that need to be tied to a registrant? Does it need to be tied to some contact that's associated with a domain name? That's the area that actually I think we can do a much better job of exploring. But the concept of, do we need an email address that actually works for some contact associated with domain, that's still a question that has to be answered separately from whether or not it's associated with a particular contact or not. I don't know, is that what you're trying to get at with this by bringing it up at this particular point, or I'll pass it back over to you to understand better what you wanted me to talk about here. Thanks.
Yeah. Yes, Rod, I think that's accurate, and it is a good time right now. Because notice when you look at it, I'm jumping a little bit ahead, looking at the key concepts that are there that are proposed by the leadership team just for discussion today on this, that some of the key concepts really came out of not only a discussion last week, but comments that were submitted with this particular question. We didn't, in the call last week, necessarily say that an email address should be continued to be required, but a lot of the comments from you guys indicated that it would be good if we still required email. Now, I want a little side comment. You're right, Rod, that there are lots of policies in place right now that have some sort of a requirement with regard to an email address. Now, we don't have to be bound by those. If we were to, and I'm not saying we should do this, but if we were to come up with recommendations that didn't require an email address, and again, I'm not suggesting that should be done, then those policies would need to be adjusted accordingly to deal with the new policy. All I'm saying is it's not an impossibility. It might not be something we want to do, and that may be where some of you are coming from. Let's go to Greg.
Thank you, Chuck. This is Greg. So from a pure, I'd like us to think about this one from a purely practical standpoint, because whatever we decide does have to be practical and implementable. Option A is kind of the concept that there are maybe different ways to contact somebody and electronically. You could use email, but they could also maybe put in their Facebook account name or their LinkedIn address or maybe a host of other things. But email is the one thing that all registrants are going to have. Right, and as Rod says, it's required right now. If you have to have an email address for the registrant in order to have UDRP work and so forth. Transfers, all these other policies do involve email. If we go with A, there's a possibility that people become much harder to contact, and you're also then requiring anyone who wants to contact them to use a potentially obscure means to contact them. We need a baseline method, and email is the obvious one. Also, you can send an email, and that doesn't require somebody to be online, like some other methods would be, and so on. So from a purely practical standpoint, it's a common thing. It's accepted. I think A allows a lot of complication and not a good idea. I think email is the way to go. Thanks.
Thanks, Greg. This is Chuck. Rod, or no, let's go to Lisa next, and then we'll go to Rod.
Thanks, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer, for the record. The derivation of the possible key concepts that are listed below, for at minimum the registrant's email must be collected and included in the RDS, was kind of based on the sentiment that Greg just voiced, but also came through in some of the comments, which is that no matter how you structure it, whether you have one structured contact blob or whether you have discrete data elements that carry different kinds of addresses, it did seem that several people responding to the poll supported the registrant's email address being sort of that baseline that always has to be collected and always has to be represented in some way in the RDS. Setting aside the difference between A and C, which is really sort of how do you model that data. That's it.
Thanks, Lisa. Just a quick, before I go to Rod, just a quick comment on Volker's comment. You're right, Volker, that communication standards change. If we end up recommending that email address still be included, that doesn't prevent it from being adjusted if email no longer works. So I think we can deal with the future even if at the present time, or whatever present means in the future, we do that. But let's go to Rod. Rod, your turn.
Thanks, Chuck. Rod Rasmussen. So I would like to separate two things here. Separate the concept that we need an email address from we need an email address for the registrant to we need an email address for a domain name. I think that's important because you can have a role that satisfies the various needs you might need an email address for that's being handled not necessarily by the registrant. So, and the couple examples I'm thinking here of, I want to register a domain name. I don't even have email, right? But I have my service provider can handle that for me, or my lawyer can provide that for me, or what have you. I can designate a contact role that has an email address, so I am contactable through that method, whatever it is. And that satisfies the purposes I would need that contact for. Right now, if we go to this concept of a contact entity by itself can fulfill multiple roles, but I'm as a registrant, I don't have anybody to fill those other roles. Well, then, if I have the requirement that I have to have an email address for some contact, and I don't provide any other contacts, well, then my registered contact needs to have an email address. Right? If people follow what I'm talking about there, so basically. You need, in my opinion, you need an email address for the domain name, but it doesn't necessarily have to be supplied by .registrant necessarily if you define other roles that can handle the purposes for which you would need to contact somebody via email. Hopefully that makes sense. Thanks.
It does, Rod, at least to me. This is Chuck. And it comes back to the key concept we already accepted today, that we need good semantical definitions of what these things mean. So if we call it registrant email address, it would probably be helpful once we get to the definition stage to point out that that could be a service provider's email address as long as that functions as a good contact email address for the registrant. So yeah, I think your point is well taken there, and I hope that I made sense and it was consistent with what you're saying. Greg, you put your hand down, so I guess maybe your point was covered. Mark, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. It's Mark. I think Greg and Rod made a lot of really good points. I talked last week a little bit about the contactability, and for me, I think that's really the key. Are you able to contact somebody when you have a purpose to do so? If at the end of the day, we've achieved contactability, then we've sort of met our goals. If we have a bunch of policy decisions that we've made, and you can't contact somebody for a purpose, then, we haven't addressed our goals. But sort of, the thing that's in the back of my head is the facts field, which has been mentioned a couple times. I just don't want us to get into a situation where we're defining a bunch of required fields and, we're collecting facts. And, at some point down the road, we're going, why the heck do we need the facts field anymore? And so it may be a little pie in the sky to want an ultimately flexible system, but I do want to make sure we're not going down a road where we're shoestringing us into something that limits us in the future. Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. This is Chuck. So let's look now at the three key concepts, and I think it's kind of helpful to go through all three of them. We can discuss them individually, but let's look at all three. And for the sake of anybody that may still be on the phone, and it looks like Stephanie could still be on the phone only, so let me read those three. In fact, let me ask Lisa to read the three key concepts. Would you do that, Lisa?
Sure. Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. So the first key concept, and that actually reflects much of what Mark just said, is data enabling at least one way to contact the registrant must be collected and included in the RDS. Chuck, did you want to deal with them?
Yeah, do all three, please.
Okay. The second is, at minimum, the registrant's email address must be collected and included in the RDS. And then the third is that data enabling one alternative or preferred method of contact may be optionally collected and included in the RDS. And I note from the discussion we've already had that there may be some concerns about including the word registrant in these key concepts. For example, data enabling at least one way to contact someone about the domain name must be collected and included in the RDS. Might be an alternative. It's not clear that the contact is necessarily the registrant in all purposes.
Thanks, Lisa. This is Chuck again. So any discussion about this set of – they kind of go together. They don't have to. Like, for example, we wouldn't have to have key concept number 6. We don't have to have number 5. But really, what we did – In coming up with these, and Lisa was a major contributor here in her analysis of the results of the poll, was we were really trying to be responsive to comments that several of you made on this item in the poll, and also, of course, we didn't know what you were going to say today, but they also seemed to be quite consistent with comments that have been made today in our meeting. So. Does anybody have any concerns about any one of these three key concepts? We can go through them one by one, but let's just find out, first of all, at a high level, are there any of these three that anybody has concern about? Please raise your hand and let us know what it is. Mark.
Thanks, Chuck. It's Mark again. You know, for the first one, I think as Lisa pointed out, you know, it's sort of, you know, the point I've made today, you know, today and last week that, you know, I think one way to contact the registrant, you know, is a requirement. So I'm obviously supportive of 4. You know, I'm not convinced on 5 though. You know, I think people have made some good points that email address is just the most practical, and you know, I'm appreciative of those points, but I'm not sure that, you know, registrant's email address, you know, must be collected. I think there are other, you know, viable ways that you could have a domain name registration and not have an email address. So I'm not convinced on 5. I'm not going to say I'm opposed to it either, but I'm not convinced that it's a must. And on the 6th one, I'd say, you know, data enabling one alternative, you know, it says may also be optionally collected. You know, I can't imagine why I'd, you know, argue against a key concept that was, you know, may and optionally in it. You know, it seems a little weak for a key concept to say something may optionally be collected. You know, I think we should maybe consider a conversation on, do we have, you know, is it a requirement that there be one primary way to contact somebody and also that a registrant provide an alternative method? I'm not sure that you want to have a key concept that there may be an optional way to contact somebody. I think we should discuss, is it necessary for RDS to have a primary method of contact and also an alternative method of contact? Thank you.
Thanks, Mark. And while we continue the discussion, be thinking about how you might word number 6 in a way that might work better for you, and I'll come back to you and see if you have an alternative wording. With regard to the requirement to still have an email address, as stated in 5, my question for you and anybody else that would like to respond to it is, removing that as a requirement worth the hassle, I'll use the word hassle, not a very good one, but the hassle of adjusting all of the policy policies that require an email address now for generic top-level domain, second-level domains and so on. Is it worth that hassle? And I think that's kind of what I heard Greg saying. Just from a practical point of view, it might be best to just leave email address for now, make sure everybody has one, and it avoids some complications with other policies and so forth. In the meantime, with something like Six, you can allow for other types of contacts that people may prefer. So maybe you can respond to that, Mark, first.
Yeah, Mark again, I'll jump into that again. I mean, I would say just because we're not requiring it in our policy doesn't mean we're, you know, telling other policies they can't require it. You know, if there's another policy that requires you to collect the email address, then you have to collect that email address to satisfy that policy. I was not at all suggesting we revisit other policies. I was just saying in this policy, is it really necessary that we require the email field? And I would say a pro of that is if in the future other policies change, then they're not having a conversation going, well, we have to revisit the RDS policy too. I would not advocate for changing the other policies. That wasn't my position. I was just saying I don't think it's a must for our policy. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mark. And have you come up with some alternative wording for number six? Probably not, since I've been focusing on you. But if you do have
one. No, this is Mark. I can jump in again on that one. I would suggest it more as maybe a poll question or a discussion topic than a consensus point is, you know, sort of a discussion topic, you know, should we require you know, an alternative contact method in addition to a primary contact method. You know, I was sort of suggesting that as a discussion point. Thanks, Chuck.
Okay, and we kind of had that in this poll. So you're suggesting polling again, maybe more specifically. Let me just ask that question right now. How many think that it makes sense to provide an alternative contact method to email, and it could there could be variations of that. In other words, email doesn't have to be the primary. There are actually several questions maybe that come out of this. Should there be a primary contact method that someone has to select is one way it could be worded. So maybe some two or three poll questions along those lines would be beneficial. How many think that having an alternative contact method besides email makes sense in this day and age? Just put a green check mark in there. Or if you think that it would be a bad idea, put a red X.
Chuck, this is Greg. Are you suggesting as an alternate means or as the single means?
Well, it could be either way, Greg. That's why I wasn't more specific, because we have to agree on some other things before we can decide that.
So your question is the same as A, in other words. You've got to be more specific here.
Well, I don't know that I can be, because it depends whether there we would require a primary element. Okay? I understand the desire for specificity, but there are several variables that come into play here. I'm seeing several green checks. Aiden, you had a red X in there. Can you explain why you would be opposed to for someone to have an alternate contact? Do you have audio, Aiden? We're not hearing anything if you're trying. Your red X, maybe your red X has gone away. regardless, if you'd like to comment, you're welcome to. All right, let's go to, just put your hand up if you do want to come in. Greg, you, and then I suspect that you've already made your comment that we need to be more specific. If you have something else to add, feel free.
Another way to phrase the question is, do you support an additional optional contact means other than email? I don't mind that idea at all, but it can't, in my opinion, replace the email.
Okay, that's good. Thanks, Sam. Would you like to comment? What is it that are you opposed to? Well, let me ask you first of all, since Greg just gave us a kind of a better wording than what I did, how do you feel about the way Greg worded it?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Am I coming? Okay. Yeah, I like Greg. I think we need something that is required that is asynchronous and it goes somewhere and you can tag it so you know that it got there, whether it goes to a privacy proxy, an email address or something. Something that has the features of email. If somebody comes up with something new and better, fine, but many of the other social media means they have shortcomings.
Thanks, Sam.
Yeah.
Oh, Andrew, you're up. Do you have audio now?
Well, let's find out. Do I have audio?
Yes.
All right. The concern that I have here is I don't think I fully understand this question. Are we asking, do we require at least one contact method, whether it be telephone, email, something, or are we asking whether we want to require email and then there are contact methods that are also permitted?
So I think it's both, but let's deal with your question. Let's go back to four, okay, key concept four. Data enabling at least one way to contact the registrant must be collected and included in the RDS. Is there anybody that disagrees with that? And you can remove your green X's or your green check marks now too, please. So is there anybody, raise your hand and tell us why. If you disagree with key concept four, which is data enabling at least one way to contact the registrant must be collected and included in the RDS. Anybody that disagrees with that? Okay. And I should look at the chat too. Okay. Thanks for putting that in there, Lisa, in the chat. Okay, so we'll accept that one as a rough consensus key concept. Now I'm starting, but I'm open to discussion on this, to think that maybe a little more polling along the lines of what Greg suggested and others have suggested, and dealing with Andrew's question might be beneficial with regard to questions like, should there be a preferred contact method that is required of everyone? Should there be an alternative? Let's not try and refine the wording now, but Andrew, go ahead.
I'm perfectly in confidence with the idea of more polling, but I would just. I want to highlight something that I tried to talk about a little bit of in the chat, and that is, historically, all of the contact methods that we were talking about in this were based on public standards, right? They were either telephone systems or email addresses. And if we're going to expand that, I'm just concerned that we make sure that we somehow carve out a requirement that at least one of them be some public standard, because otherwise we have the potential of nailing everybody to a bunch of proprietary communication methodologies, you know, for which we cannot assume that everybody in the world actually has access to that communication technology. And I think that that's that would be problematic.
So let me make a suggestion before I jump over to Rod. This is Chuck again. Maybe, what if we were to add that as a, essentially what you just said, as a key concept? Would anybody disagree with that? That at least one contact method has to be standards-based? Would anybody object to that as a throw it again as a key concept? We'll test it in a poll. But if not, we'll include that, okay? Because that's a really good point that Andrew just made, and I think an essential one. Go ahead.
Jack, can I jump in? It's Stephanie.
Yes, Stephanie.
I actually pulled over to talk about a different point, but it speaks to my concern about, let's say everybody moves to Skype, but there are many countries where you can't use Skype. Therefore, that particular method isn't going to help you contact the individual if you're in one of those countries. And the problem, let's say they're taking over everybody's websites in your country, you know what I mean? And that speaks to what I wanted to talk about was, what is our harm that we're trying to combat here, and do we have a measure of the quality of the data that we're collecting? And I think the answer that I've already reached the conclusion on is no, we don't. We don't have really good quality measures for the data that is in the current RDS, which makes referring back to it somewhat odd. But if the registrar absolutely can say that on a scale of 1 to 5, this customer is contactable, then I don't really see that we need a whole lot of optional elements to be contacted and put in the RDS. So if you have an accredited registrar that says, yeah, I give this customer a 5 because she's renewed her domains for the last 15 years and I see no signs of it stopping and I can get her on address and the address of her credit card and blah, 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 then why would we collect that in the RDS? Because if the purpose of the alternate contact is to stop abusive behavior coming from a website or whatever, then why are we fussing so much? In other words, what problem are we trying to solve? Thanks.
So here's one problem. Somebody doesn't use email. They prefer to use a text message to communicate. That would be a solution to that problem, to provide an alternative way, assuming that it's at least one contact method is standards-based, like Andrew said. That's what comes to mind for me. Let's let Rod jump in, because he's had his hand up for a while. Go ahead, Rod.
Thanks, Chuck. This is Rod Rasmus, and I actually originally put my hand up to agree strongly with Andrew on the need for a standards-based contact. And email is one that is baked in the process. I know somebody brought up the transfer policy, there's UDRP policy, there's a whole bunch of stuff. So eliminating that is problematic for a domain name. And again, I'll refer back to my prior comments around we need it for a domain for these purposes, and those purposes may be transfers, UDRP, other things, right? So as long as one of the contacts that has an email address can satisfy those roles, we're good, in my opinion. Now, it's just that what Stephanie just brought up, I think it's important. You know, I go through this example on a daily basis. I'm just thinking through this. My kids don't use email. They don't use phone either. They love text, and they have a Facebook account. My contractor, who I can't get a hold of at all, via email, but he has an email address. I will send, I will call him and say, look at your email to see this thing, right? So I've got all these people that I have. I may or may not be able to get them an email, but in fact, I usually can, but they aren't looking at it, right? And they prefer to get a ping via SMS, or a lot of people these days, they only pay attention to Facebook. And that, in 10 years, that could be a completely different service. So we don't want to, lock us into something. But you certainly, if you want to have responsiveness and so from the requester or the person reaching out, they want to make sure that the person getting it might actually see it, and the person receiving that actually wants to get it, then this alternative methodology of contact is really important concept to be able to support. And again, I refer back to look at your address book today and how you contact people, and that will often be a different method for each person you're trying to get a hold of. Thanks.
Thanks, Rod. Now, I'm going to give a little assignment to all of you who are interested in doing it. We're going to create the leadership team is going to create a poll in the next few hours, okay? And there seems to be some at least supporting the idea that we poll, we ask some questions that get down into a little more specifics with regard to 5 and 6, okay? What I'd like to propose, I'm giving you an opportunity, you don't always have this, but to suggest some wording of questions to poll on, okay? If any of you want to suggest some questions for us to poll on, to dig down a little bit deeper and more specifically for 5 and 6 here, if you'll do that in the next 30 minutes, in other words, 20 minutes after our meeting ends, assuming we end on time, which I'll try to do, you have that opportunity. Otherwise, we will try to capture what we heard and come up with the questions on our own. But this is an opportunity for each of you to have some input on that. Just send it to the working group list, okay, in the next 30 minutes. So that's about 20 minutes after our scheduled meeting ending time. Now, what I want to do, I want to move ahead, okay, so if you'll scroll down to the next page. Let's take a look at these other contact categories: admin contact, technical contact, registrar abuse contact, privacy proxy contact. Now, we're looking back at poll results 2 polls ago, okay, on the screen, and you can see there was pretty strong support. Remember what that support column is. It is a sum of 2 points for strongly agree, 1 for agree, minus 1 for neutral, and minus 2 for disagree. Nothing for neutral. Minus 2 for strongly disagree, and minus 1 for disagree. That's what that total means for those that weren't on the call last week or didn't listen to the recording. So there was pretty strong support for all of these things. Now, the first three we've already been covering, okay? So start with 16 there. And in fact, we've already been dealing with that one as well. So you really start with 25 and down there. I don't know if we're going to need to go through all of these in a lot of detail. There's already been some comments on technical contact on our list over the last few weeks that have been pretty good. There are people that use it. There are people that think it's not necessary anymore. But let's just real quickly get some thoughts going on admin contact. Now, we're not going to dig down into what admin contact details would be included at this point. But is the admin contact, whatever elements that includes, should that be included in the RDS? What do you think? Mark.
Hey, Chuck. It's Mark again. I'd really like us to to get into the concept of roles, and I think on the next page, jumping ahead to 6, you talk about are these contact types, and then in brackets you say roles needed. I don't like having a required set of predefined contact types that may or may not be applicable to every registration. Which is why I think the roles concept, and I think that was a pretty key part of the EWG recommendations. I think the roles concept is really good and worth us considering, because if I'm registering a domain on my own, I might be the registrant, admin, tech, contact. I might be all of those things. On the other hand, I may have a technical provider that's doing the tech contact role, and so I might want to have a different person doing that role. So I like the roles concept, and I think it's something we should, we should delve into a little bit more, in this working group as, as a path forward here, rather than saying admin, tech, billing are all required contacts, I think we should look at, what are the roles and, allow registrants the flexibility of specifying who to contact in the case of those particular roles. Thank you.
So Mark, I guess if everybody may want to scroll down to slide 6 because it lists the four types of contacts there. I've always thought that any of those could be roles. What's different now in what you're suggesting?
Well, they are roles, but in sort of today's implementation, you're required to provide a separate registrant admin technical contact, even if the same person is providing is performing all those roles. And the EWG recommended many different potential roles. The one that's popping into my head right now is legal. If you have a legal contact,
yeah.
Who do you contact, right?
By the way, we kept that one and the business contact separate just for today's meeting, okay? We're going to get to that. So that's right.
Yeah, so I just think the EWG's approach to that is a lot more flexible. I think it's a better implementation. I think frustration with the existing model is some people go to register a domain name and they enter the same information four times. The EWG roles approach, if you're doing the entire registration yourself and you're the only person to contact for every role, then I think it's easier to do that. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark. Rod.
Rod Rasmussen here, and I thank you, Mark. First off, that's exactly the point I was going to make. So two things. One is the domain is separate from contacts. You only need one actual contact for a domain, and that contact could serve all the roles. Then it comes down to defining roles and what you may or may not want to have available as roles that you'd split out. So if you only provide one contact, you assume all the roles. If you want to subdivide, and this gets into the question of an admin contact I want to talk to specifically, then you could do so. The reason for having an admin contact, I believe, versus a registrant or a technical contact, which is the other places you may try and lump those kinds of administrative duties to, is the following. I may, as a company, let's think of this as a corporate registration, want to register my name to my corporate entity or my corporate entity and make sure that that is locked in to me as the legal entity, me as a corporation. The corporation basically owns, controls, whatever, that domain name. However, I have a department or a person who is responsible for administering the domain. It is not the company. It is an actual role or a person that is the administrator of things, whatever those things may be. They may be technical things, but that administrative person may not want to deal with technical issues, or there may be some sort of technical person that handles things like, is the DNS properly configured, is the email working, et cetera, and that would be a technical contact. So there's this kind of administrative role, which is separate from an ownership slash control perspective, that is important to have for at least some classifications of domain registrants. And I want to separate those two concepts. So that's why I would want to have this admin concept. However, that is just a role and can be, again, separate that out from the domain itself. It is a role for the domain that can be attached to a particular contact object. Thanks.
Thanks, Rod. So my question as we come to the end here is, how can we best grapple with these contact types or contact roles? Should we use the EWG approach and deliberate on them that way? Does anybody have any suggestions about how best to do this? And we could add the other two new ones, legal and business contacts, that are in the EWG report as well, which we have targeted for later, but that could come at the same time. Greg, go ahead.
Hi, this is Greg Aaron. The traditional contact types have been around since the dawn of time. And I think one of the things that happened over time is that people lost sight of what they were originally meant to do. For example, the registrant is the so-called owner of record, but it was implied for a lot of the time that the registrant was also a legal contact, because the registrant is legally responsible for the domain. And I think one of the things that the WG tried to do is go back and say, these were the meanings of these contacts. What I also think the WG did was multiply the types of contacts unnecessarily, perhaps, trying to slice things too fine, when maybe what we need to do is simply define, when we say admin contact, this is what it's for, this is what it means. When we say registrant contact, this is what it is for, and this is what it means. So we should look at the past assumptions and then decide whether new ones make sense. And there might also be an opportunity to explain to people going forward, when you designate an admin contact, this is what it's for, and this is how it should be used, that kind of thing. Thanks.
A quick question, Greg. This is Chuck. On if you're looking at slide 6, are you relatively comfortable with the potential responsibilities listed for the four contacts there?
Well, it's interesting. Well, we don't have registrant there.
Right. We've already covered registrant.
And no, actually, I'm not. The admin contact was actually, in a lot of ways, about domain administration, which is not handled under that definition. And then you have to decide whether the admin actually subsumes the abuse function or the technical does. So I don't think those are there yet.
Thanks, Greg. This is Chuck. So and as we wrap this up, I'm thinking that maybe we should do what Mark said and talk about the roles, approaches from a role standpoint. It may or may not be a separate contact. Does that make sense, or does somebody have a different suggestion in terms of how to approach these various types of contact needs? Sorry, I'm not keeping up with chat very well. So there's some support for the roles concept. Lisa, go ahead.
Thanks, Chuck. Lisa Pfeiffer for the record. Yeah, I see a number of people supporting the idea of discussing what roles might be necessary, regardless of how they might be mapped into contact data. I also see some support in chat, a little less than that, regarding potential reuse of contact information and what the requirements might be around that. Those teams seem to be two somewhat orthogonal lines of discussion.
Okay, well, we are out of time. Greg, is that an old hand? If not, you can speak. Thanks, okay. All right, and Lisa, did you want to add something there?
No, old hand.
Okay, all right, so we have reached the end of our time. Remember, if you would like to suggest some wording for some follow-up poll questions regarding alternate contact and primary contact, anything's along those lines, please do it in the next 20 minutes or so, and then we the leadership team will take that input and just do it on the main list, okay? We have some action items. Somebody from staff want to go over the action items?
Sure, Chuck. There's the action item that you just mentioned, which is working group members can suggest alternative wording for key concepts 5 and 6. Those are the key concepts 5 and 6 that we discussed today and listed in the slide deck. By 1800 UTC, do that on list for inclusion in this week's poll, and the staff will include those as possible options in this week's poll. Staff also has the option, or option, the action, to develop other poll questions to test support for the alternative definition we came up for poll question 2 regarding RDS policy must include a definition for every GTLD registration data element, including both a semantic definition and, by reference to appropriate standards, a syntax definition. That will be tested, support will be tested for that in the poll. And we will record the working agreement on registrant country. And in this week's poll, we will also include the key concept that was largely supported in this week's call for question 4, which is that data enabling at least one way to contact the registrant must be collected and included in the RDS. So those are the items find in this week's poll.
And I think there's one more. I threw in, based on Andrew's suggestion, that a key concept, and we can change that if we want, but about the at least one contact method standard space.
Yes. Got it.
Okay. All right. And I'm sure there's a better way to word it than I just did, but all right. Anything else? Okay, so we'll have a poll out hopefully end of the day today, certainly first thing tomorrow, try and respond. They should be. We'll try to design them so they're pretty easy to respond to, and it's probably easier if you participated in the meeting. But for those who didn't, hopefully they'll listen to the recording, look at the transcript, and so forth. So, is there anything else we need to talk about today before I adjourn? Okay, and thanks for the input on our roles approach and another approach for approaching these other contact types. We'll do our best to incorporate that in our next meeting. And our next meeting will be a week from today on August the 1st at the same time. So I look forward to everything. And as far as discussion on the list this week, anything related to what we discussed in this meeting or in the polls, including how to approach the additional types of roles, is open for discussion this week. So thanks, everybody. And let me just check one more thing here. So all of us have homework with regard to discussing the three questions on slide 6 on list, okay? Lisa, why don't you quickly explain what that is? Are you there, Lisa?
Sure. Yeah, apologies, just catching up. So I think that the homework then is for the roles that are listed on slide 6. So at the moment, do not think of these as discrete contacts or data elements, but looking at the roles on slide 6, discuss the three questions that you see at the top of slide 6, which is, are these roles really needed? How do the roles differ from each other? And there's a third question, how might they be different from the registrant?
So for the sake of facilitating list discussion, let's send out, and I'm going to add an action item there, let's send out those three questions that is and encourage people to discuss those on the list between now and our next meeting related to those four contact types, okay? All right, sorry to go over. Again, in the next 20 minutes or so, if you want to suggest some poll questions for key concepts 5 and 6 from question 4 in the poll in last week's poll, please do so. In the meantime, have a good rest of the day and the rest of the week. Thanks, everybody. Meeting adjourned, and the recording can stop.
Thanks so much, everybody. Today's meeting is adjourned. Operator, could you please stop the recording? Have a great day, all.